Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. One of the most iconic parts of the recent protests here in Milwaukee are the many murals that have sprung up around the city. These pieces on streets and walls provide tangible expressions of the energy behind these demonstrations. Vidale Hill has been a part of this movement, both as an activist and an artist. Although his Black Lives Matter mural covering the intersection of North Martin Luther King Drive and West Locust Street was washed away, the piece was not just a visual reminder of the movement. It was a community effort in the heart of the city's Harambee neighborhood. Hill joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about his work and its impact.
So, just to start here, how did you first become involved in the protests?
So, naturally, as an artist, I've done work that relates to my upbringing and living in Milwaukee and my experiences. And it was a natural connection to a lot of the protests, a lot of the feelings of being unheard, unseen, and unappreciated or underappreciated, and simply not treated humanely. And that's how I've become involved, because it was natural for me. My work already covered those subjects. The things I've been trying to affect change on have been systemic racism, even classism, and education disparities, opportunities, food deserts. So a lot of the work I've done was to use my art form as a vehicle to teach mainly youth about their opportunities, about the things that's out there. And I feel one of the biggest things is misinformation or not accessing information freely in the urban setting. We have to drive half an hour to get to the nearest place for good health care or good food that's naturally grown. We have quick access to things that are harmful for us, both our health and our finances. Predatory lending, everything we have access to immediately and all the information about are harmful. But my work with Homeworks Bronzeville addresses the housing issues. My work as an artist addresses a lot of the social cues that happen consistently. And a lot of people are looking for people to just simply hear them. I mean, when me saying my life matters is met with a debate, that in itself is ridiculous. I'm not against anyone. I'm for me. And that's harmful. And not trying to impede on anyone's rights, anyone's obligations to take care of their families or whatever that may be, but simply me stating I am a man who should be treated with respect first and foremost, I have to prove that I should be respected. I have to jump through hoops to be looked at as an equal. And I feel like a lot of the work I do through housing, through fine arts, through education, through a lot of the public projects I do, it addresses all these things in one.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of people are going to know you as a muralist, maybe first and foremost. Inside of this movement, what do you think murals bring to the conversation that other forms of protest can't in the same way?
So one of the major things that attracted me to art as a career in my ability to tell a story in a painting or in a sculpture or an installation, I believe the biggest thing art does is it lies to the people to tell them the truth. It comes off as fake. So when I paint a person, that's not a real person. That's a painting of a person. We lie to tell the truth, while politicians act as if they're telling the truth to lie. And I feel like that's what's happening. The artists get to sugarcoat the things that are hard to digest, the things that people don't want to address and can. Obviously, for years, you can avoid serious conversation that I will not be treated the same way as my white counterpart. And he didn't have to do anything for that to happen. Nor did I. So we simply address the truth through facades, which are paintings and sculptures and beautiful flowers and young ladies with a mask on that said, I can't breathe. And she's a beautiful young girl and painted, and everyone can enjoy that. So we lie to tell the truth, while a lot of politicians act as if they're telling the truth. They hide behind skewed statistics and use it. They talking points, and they just continue to do the same things that's happened over and over. I'm treated slightly better than my father, but not humanely. That doesn't make me happy. I'm not satisfied with being treated slightly better than my father, who should have been respected in the first place.
Yeah. You know, a lot of the concepts and the issues that you're talking about, when you think about them, they don't necessarily bring up an image. How do you take these concepts that can feel more abstract in some ways, but have a real life impact? How do you take those ideas and make them an image, make them visual?
So we as humans across this planet, we have some certain things that are just universally understood or felt. And those are usually through those emotional cues, not language, not necessarily cultural things. For example, not the vehicles we enjoy or the pastimes we enjoy, but the art. We all know what looks good to us. It doesn't have to be an equal. Like, I like red flowers. You can like yellow flowers. We both enjoy beauty. That's the thing. We don't have to enjoy beauty the same way. We don't have to enjoy the feeling of success the same way. I could feel great and successful when I complete a painting, and another person can feel successful when they complete a sale because they're a sales rep. And that joy is universal. That understanding of beauty is universal. The understanding of taking pride and caring for your family, whether you're man, woman, child, whomever, those things are universal. So how do you depict them is the question. And it's through a lot of color usage. There's a lot of color association. We're talking about this right now. Black is negative and white is positive, and that's how the world sometimes sees it. That's the story that's being told. But there's nuances to it. And we just, as artists, we manipulate color and scale to see something the size of a building changes something. To see it the size of a sheet of standard paper says something. So we use scale, color usage, and imagery, and a universally understood appreciation for beauty and joy. Like, music does the same thing. So does dance. Whether you great at it, or I stand on the wall. Whether you're great at it, or you're the guy just holding up the wall, you can enjoy the feeling of community when music is playing. And those are the things artists try to create. We try to depict these situations of what we want opposed to what we don't want. I often find myself in conversations about what should happen, not what shouldn't happen, because we keep seeing what shouldn't happen. That's what the headlines are, is what shouldn't have happened. That cop shouldn't have done that. That person shouldn't have done that, or that company shouldn't have done that. What should they have done is the real conversation, and that's the meat of it, is they should look at every application with no name and choose the person. With no, why do I have to check a box to say my ethnicity? Why do they have a standard where they say they have to hire at least 15% and then be forced to, because they simply won't look at people for who they are and what they do, but rather like how they look or what neighborhood they grew up in and those kind of things. And that's what art is doing. That's why we're trying to depict what should be, what is a beautiful child out there speaking their mind or standing for something. How could anyone be against that?
Well, and some people look at these street murals, in particular the murals that are on the street, as a kind of graffiti, which raises the question, you know, what is the difference between street art and graffiti?
Well, there's multiple differences in art in general. Myself, I identify as an artist. I mean, I try to get my message across, whether it's sculpture, mural painting, or painting on a canvas in my studio that'll go in a gallery in another country. I see myself as an artist. But for me, what's understood is street more or less is a person doing it because they absolutely want to. There's no like business transaction involved. they're just speaking their mind through art, whether it's wheat pasting, stenciling, painting, chalk art, whatever it may be. It's from that person. It's a message from that person directly. There is no like contractual obligation to do this or that. And murals are in between fine arts and street art. There's a transaction involved, but there's also community involvement. There's usually some kind of input or message from a collective. Rather, it's one artist painting it. The idea had to be shared at some point. It may probably had to get approved. So there's different degrees of freeness to what's happening. Some people are doing gigantic street art that if it was a commodity, they would have been paid thousands, but they express themselves through it. And if they feel that's fine, fine. But also at the same time, there's someone making a transaction to do one. And there's another person who's spilling hate. Let's be honest, some people who are just anti whatever. I mean, anti-happiness, anti-growth, because stagnant is where a lot of people do well in this country. When it's stagnant, there are an entire class of people who do well with things not changing because they never had to adapt, never had to change. Not to say everyone struggles, that's universal. But some people have umbrellas and some don't. Some people have a place to go when it's raining and some don't. Some people are helped across the street and given an umbrella and some are just spat on while it's raining. So there's varying degrees of growth that needs to happen. And street art, murals, and graffiti, they all have a place. What doesn't have a place is the hatred. It should be a message for something, not necessarily against something.
When you're doing these street murals, do you get permits to do them? Or is this something that that you could be potentially fined for?
So me personally, I'm usually requested to do the murals I do. There's usually some entity, whether city, private, company, an organization. I'm usually sought after to produce it with youth, with community. So that's usually where I fall in there. And permits involved, there's surveys involved. Often there's some kind of community involvement where they're actually painting with me, and sometimes they're not. They just have input on what's going up. So for me, I'm not really worried about like a permits or anything like that. It's usually part of a job for me, but it's a job that I see needs to happen. We need positive imagery of Black men. Often we're just judged by what's seen in the media or a 15-second clip, not seeing the beginning nor the end of what happened. So for me to depict things that should be or things that really get to the meat of the issues, systemic issues, those are where minds lie. And I wouldn't want to ruin that with an argument or fight or a political battle over if I had the right to do it or not. Because what it does is it yells over a real situation. It's yelling during a debate. So I have to cross my T's and dot my I's. Otherwise, sometimes my message can get lost in the permitting aspect of it or the community involvement aspect of it.
Yeah, that makes sense. So as we look to the future of these protests, these demonstrations in general, what are your plans? Do you plan to do more murals or collaborate with other artists?
Yeah, so for me, someone asked me that, and I mentioned it a few times before in other interviews, and someone asked me, like, what am I going to do about these things that are going on? And I've been doing the work. I've started Giselle's Art Studio with my brother in 2012 to address youth having something positive to do, having food. They can come do art and see Black men doing positive things for their neighborhood. I've been doing the work of talking to businesses about giving back to the community. Often the businesses in the inner city, especially Harambe, Imani, River West, Bronzeville area, even in the South Side, North Side. So those are pipeline out businesses. They'll profit all day as a corner store and never give a cent. Might not even maintain their property well. There's so many pipelines out of our community that I address it through, like, if you want to really invest in this community that you're making money off of, really invest. I hire 5 kids a quarter to clean. I mean, you have to do something, because at that point, these stores just take. A lot of these businesses just take from our people, and they're the same ones following us around the store, calling the police because I paid for something, then I came back in to get something else, and now they think I took that. And they didn't give me a receipt. So now there's a kid who probably has a petty theft thing on their record because the store owner doesn't care, or the business doesn't care about the people who are making their business profitable. So we address that through, like, hire them. Let's do some mural out here, or have some kind of cleanup club, or whatever it may be. Just do something positive. I mean, that's what I've been doing. I've been addressing these things through murals, through fine arts, through education. Now teaching at MIAD as an adjunct professor, I'm working with young adults and seeing where their head is and seeing how they can contribute to their community, whether it's here or not. I mean, their community can be in Michigan. That's fine, but this is a universal issue. It should be natural for a company or a business to do well by the people that make them function, that make them profitable. And often that's not happening. And I address that through consulting, through art projects, through community projects, through cleanups, through just mentoring. I mean, if anybody is hearing this that I've mentored, I mean, say something. I've always given opportunities to self-taught artists to just come out and learn different techniques and learn how to draw up a business plan or write up a proposal. I've done this for years, and these are even peers of mine. I mean, some of my mentees are older than I am. I'm only 32, and I've been doing this for as long as I can remember. If I can help, I'm going to help.
Yeah. Well, Video, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work with us.
Thank you.
Milwaukee native Vidale Hill is an activist, teacher, and artist whose murals have been a part of the recent protests here in the city. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.